We've had to help clients where we're going all the way back to 2012 when the legislation came in that they have to register. So, you know, that's kind of 6 years of taxes you're going to have to go back and pay. And if you don't, your Amazon account gets shut down. So first kind of hurdle is actually getting registered, kind of what you'd think is the most simplest part, just to do that application.
Welcome to the Quiet Light Podcast with Joe Valley and Mark Doust. Since 2007, Quiet Light Brokerage has been helping thousands of online entrepreneurs realize their dream of buying and selling online businesses. And now, we're bringing all the knowledge our team has acquired straight to you. No matter your niche or industry, these lessons, tips, and strategies will help you build, grow, acquire, or sell your online businesses better. And now, here's Joe and Mark.
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm good, Mark. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. I'm enjoying the weather lately and getting outdoors a little bit, not working as hard, but we're still recording podcasts. And you recorded one on an interesting topic and something that I think more and more people are having to face that have Amazon businesses. And that's some of the tax implications of going overseas.
Yeah, it's actually anybody that has a physical products business that wants to sell in Europe, and it's on value-added taxes. Oh my God, not exciting at all. But did you know, real quickly, that, you know, obviously here in the States, you buy something and then the tax is added. When you buy something online over in Europe, UK, Germany, France, Italy, et cetera, the taxes are built into the price. So if it's $120, the item might be $100, but the taxes are $20. And a lot of buyers that sellers that expand overseas don't quite understand that concept initially, and they could immediately start losing margin by not increasing the prices for the value-added taxes. Great conversation. It was with Alex Lyon from Avask Tax Advisors. They have over 2,000 FBA clients and e-commerce clients throughout the world that sell and need value-added tax compliance. So really informative stuff. And anybody that's considering expanding overseas should absolutely listen to this, because it's not that complicated once you listen to what she says.
What are the consequences if somebody is not taking care of the value-added tax? Do you know by any chance?
Yeah, absolutely. So they're very, very compliant over there. It's not gray like it is here in the States. It's black and white. So it's the problem is that if you sell in, let's say, the UK and you're not registered, you're going to be determined. Amazon has to share the information with, I think it's the HMRC. They have to, by law. They share the details on everybody that sells on Amazon. So the HMRC has access to your sales information and therefore can force you to pay the value-added taxes that you should have collected. If you didn't collect it, you're going to pay for it out of your pocket. Simple as that. So you've got two choices. Pay for it out of your pocket and lose that 15 to 20% margin and probably make no money at all, or walk away and be banned from selling in Europe on Amazon.
That's significant. I think, you know, moving across the ocean to selling in different countries is a huge opportunity for anyone buying an e-commerce business that wants to ship overseas, that you need to start taking advantage of that opportunity, but you also have to go through some of the understanding of what sort of regulations are in play. I think this, you know, you said this is not exactly an exciting topic, but you know what? I think this is a really important topic for anyone to listen to possibly unlock an opportunity that your competitors are not taking advantage of.
Yeah. And before we say, let's jump into it, let me just say this, that I've seen explosive growth with people moving and expanding their products to the EU. Explosive growth, in particular, the UK and Germany. And the cost associated with it, using someone like Avask, and they're not the only ones who do it, it's not all that expensive. You're looking at maybe $1,500 to get the ball rolling and get it done right. And you can start selling immediately as long as you're registering, and then you pay, you know, from the date you started selling. It's really not that complicated. There's a lot to it, but it's really, really important that if you're going to sell overseas, which I think everybody should if they have real growth plans, that they listen to the whole podcast.
All right. With that, I will say, let's jump into it.
Hey, folks, it's Joe from Quiet Light Brokerage. And today I've got Alex Lyon from Avask Tax Advisors with me. She's an expert on VAT, which I believe is value-added tax, something a lot of folks trying to expand their e-commerce businesses over to the UK and beyond really need some help on. So Alex, welcome to the Quiet Light Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. Hi, everyone. Yeah, as Joe's mentioned, my name is Alex. I am the Indirect Tax Client Manager at Avask. So I've been working here a few years now, just helping e-commerce sellers expand over into Europe. So we've got over 2,000 Amazon sellers that we work with, UK companies, but also companies based all over the world as well. So yeah, that's a bit about us.
That's fantastic. Are they all FBA clients fulfilled by Amazon, or do they, you know, sell off FBA as well, off Amazon with their own e-commerce businesses?
It varies. So a high majority of people are FBA sellers just because it's a lot easier to hand everything over to Amazon and kind of let them do fulfillment. But there are quite a large number of MFN sellers as well. So just shipping from your own country, which obviously makes things a lot easier in terms of the VAT, because you don't actually have to declare the sales in Europe because you're not fulfilling from those countries. So yeah, it's kind of a majority FBA, but we do have MFN sellers as well.
Okay, good, good, good. So let's talk about the basics, get things straight here for our listeners, because a lot of people here in the States are expanding their Amazon.com accounts beyond Amazon into the European countries and seeing explosive growth. But the big mystery is how to set up the VAT and how to find an agency like yours to handle it and what the costs associated with it are. So if you could start, am I getting it right? Is it value-added tax? And tell us how it works.
Correct. Yes, it is value-added tax. It's the same principle across the European countries, but they have different rates and different filing frequencies. The easiest way to explain it would be that it's similar to the sales tax you have in the US, but the main difference would be the way in which you include it within the price of your product. So this is kind of the biggest hurdle where people fall over on, where they don't actually include the VAT amount within the price of their product, which means that you're not actually collecting the VAT from your customer, but you still have to pay it to the revenue. So you're essentially paying it out of your own pocket if you don't include it. So in the US, for someone like myself, when I come over, I don't realize that it works like this, but I go to the checkout and sales tax is added on. And I'm kind of like, where's this amount come from? Whereas in the UK, you don't know that it's already there in the price of the product. So yes, it's essentially the same as the sales tax, but it's more hidden.
So Amazon is collecting that 20% for you, and it's built into the purchase price of the product. So if it's $100, if the VAT is 20%, for instance, 20% is set aside to pay your taxes. Okay.
Yes, so you need to list it on Amazon for the straight 120. Amazon won't do that for you.
Okay. And do a lot of people make that mistake where they just list their business without bumping it for the value-added tax?
Yeah, there's a large number that do without getting kind of proper advice on how that actually works. Obviously, it's hard enough doing taxes in your own country, let alone kind of working out how to do it in a foreign country. So yeah, that's a big hurdle where quite a lot of people fall over at.
Okay. So you're located in the UK, Avask is you located in the UK, but I think I saw offices around in different parts of the world. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. So we've got an office in London. I'm based down in Winchester, which is about an hour south of London. And then we've also got offices in Shenzhen and LA. We try to come over to the US as much as possible as well, just because obviously it's kind of US sellers that we majoritively work with. So yeah, we try and get over to the events as much as possible as well. And get that traveling.
So the vast majority of your clients, as you just said, are US-based clients, and they start selling on Amazon.com and then expanded to the European countries?
Yeah, definitely. Amazon is obviously, it's huge in America, and it's just kind of been taking off here in Europe as well. So it's a massive market in Europe. And I think if your product is successful and you've been able to make a success of that in the US, then there's absolutely no reason why you shouldn't also be able to do that in Europe.
Okay. So let's say I own an Amazon.com account and I want to reach out to you. I want to sell in the European countries. Mm-hmm. Step one, two, three. Can you walk us through that?
Yep, sure. So step one is to work out where you're going to be shipping your products from. So most people go with the UK or Germany just because they're the biggest markets. UK is obviously a lot easier because you don't have to translate any of your products. So whichever country you decide you're going to fulfill from, you then have to get a VAT number in that country and also an EORI number for all of your shipments. So those two numbers, you have to have those before you make a shipment. If you make a shipment without those numbers, you're going to get charged import VAT, and then you won't necessarily be able to reclaim that back, whereas you would if you have the numbers. So that's very important. In terms of the registration process, engaging a UK agent is really helpful because you've got someone who can communicate with the tax authorities on your behalf. It also means that we know exactly what documents are needed for each of the registrations, and we'll process all of that for you. Once the applications have been submitted and you're waiting for the numbers to come through, at that point you should start getting your listings up, working out some shipping quotes, and kind of working out all the details of actually how you're going to get your product there and what the listings are going to look like.
Okay. Now, I just had a conversation with someone that is buying an Amazon business, and they were confused about when the VAT was going to be applied. Is it to the amount of products being shipped into the country, or is it the amount that's sold?
It's both. So if you're doing FBA, you're making a bulk shipment to an Amazon warehouse. That bulk shipment, you're going to have to declare it at customs. So any shipment that's going into a warehouse is going to have import VAT at UK customs charged on it. That's assuming, of course, that your shipment has come from outside of Europe. So most people ship from China or from the US. So import VAT is going to be charged on the cost of your goods. When you put together a commercial invoice with that shipment, that's the amount the import VAT can be charged on, also with freight charges and things.
And at what time do they pay that import VAT? When it arrives?
Yeah, correct. So usually, depending on what shipping company you go for, usually they'll pay it for you and invoice it back to you. But they still have to use your kind of clearance number to clear the shipment.
And then do they have to, then they collect that VAT when it sells and they keep it? Or is it a different, are we talking about two different things, the import VAT versus the VAT that's charged to the customer on the Amazon account? Is that two different things or is it the same?
It's the same tax, but it's computed a different way. So import VAT is on cost, whereas VAT on your sales is on the retail price of your goods. And they're also kind of declared differently. So with the VAT on your sales, you pay that in your VAT return each quarter. You don't pay that immediately when you make the sale, whereas the import VAT, you pay it immediately at customs. And the way that those kind of, they tie in together, although they're separately, it's within your VAT return. So you do your VAT filing every quarter. So every 3 months, you declare the amount of sales you made. And then obviously you're declaring the VAT that's due on your sales. And then any import VAT that you pay, you can get that refunded and it's used as a credit within your VAT return.
And how easy is it within the Amazon seller account to see the VAT monies that you've collected and have it match up against what you're going to owe? Or is it not as black and white as I think it would be, or is it relatively easy?
It's gotten a lot better, to be honest. So Amazon have got specific VAT reports that you can now download so you can see the breakdown. But in terms of the actual, when your customer purchases an item, they won't be able to see the breakdown of VAT and the amount that's going to you, the amount that's going to the revenue. Another kind of stumbling block where a few Amazon sellers fall over, where they don't get the kind of do the proper research before, is that although Amazon take their fees from the money you receive in terms of your sales, the VAT is actually due on the total sales price. You can't deduct Amazon fees, and then the amount that you actually receive from Amazon is what you pay VAT on. It's the total amount that your customer's paying you pay VAT on.
Why is there any calculation at all that the seller does? Doesn't Amazon calculate it for you? It seems like they would, since they know the exact sales.
Yeah, so unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. You have to include it. You have to price your product. You have to do your pricing matrix. If you're expecting to kind of do your pricing and then Amazon add the VAT on, that's not going to happen. You have to make sure you're including it.
Well, no, I was thinking in terms of Amazon, that in your pricing, you would say, this is my price and then this is my VAT amount. It's not done that way. You just simply mark it up to $120 if it's a $100 item.
Yeah, exactly. You mark it up straight away. You can tell Amazon with their VAT calculation service, you can let them know if you've got any kind of reduced rated or zero rated items, which will reflect on the actual sales report, but it's not going to affect what your actual retail price is on Amazon, what it's listed as.
Okay, let's talk about volume. Here in the States, there's a lot of question about when should I start collecting sales taxes and Nexus and all these different things. Unfortunately, not black and white yet. It's still very, very gray. I had a situation where I listed a business for sale and asked about collecting VAT. And he said, well, I haven't hit that threshold yet in the UK. Mm-hmm. And I think he was a UK corporation as well. Can you talk about thresholds and when and if you have to collect in different scenarios, both if you're a UK corporation or a Hong Kong corporation, if you're someone that's LLC or a corporation here in the States?
Okay, so if you have a company that's incorporated anywhere apart from the UK, then you have to register for VAT immediately. So that's sale number one, whether it's kind of $1, $10, $100, it's straight away. So there's no threshold whatsoever. You have to be registered. If, however, you have a UK company, there's a threshold of £85,000, and that's in terms of your turnover over a 12-month rolling period. So, you know, if you hit that within 3 months, you have to be registered. If you hit that in 11 months, you have to be registered. But that's just for a UK company. So, yeah, if you've got an overseas entity, you have to be registered straight away. That's my threshold.
As far as buyers go, I mean, you and I have talked about this and have conversations with buyers when they buy an Amazon account that has a European component to it. Mm-hmm. There's always questions about, gee, am I not going to be collecting during a certain period of time? How do we sign up? How do we get that registered? What kind of danger I'm going to be in? I think you said the other day in a call separately in preparation for this that you can start pricing your products right away while you register, and you're not going to, you're not going to lose any ground or sales while you're registering and then paying VAT down the road a bit. Can you talk about that again a little bit, so that, and talk about it from a buyer's perspective? Say someone is buying an Amazon account and taking it over, they mm-hmm. would reach out to you to register. How do they ensure that they're collecting from day one of ownership, and that they're not going to get themselves in a little bit of trouble?
Well, first of all, I would make sure, well, check whether the Amazon account has already previously been charging VAT. So what we've discussed in terms of the pricing, obviously, if you're taking over an Amazon account, you're buying that account, and they haven't been including VAT in the prices, you obviously then need to, the first point of call is to straight away go ahead and increase everything by that 20%.
Let me just jump in here for a sec. So that's a consideration. When someone's, this is for the buyers that are listening, correct me here, Alex, if I'm wrong, but when someone's buying an account and the owner has a UK corporation, if they're below that annual threshold of €85,000 in revenue, mm-hmm. they're not charging VAT. But if I buy it and I'm not a UK corporation, I immediately have to increase the prices in order to collect VAT, or leave it alone and I'm going to lose 20% on my sales to the VAT. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. So you, because you're an overseas company, you will have to charge VAT on your sales, even though they haven't been charged previously.
Okay, really critical for buyers to understand that when it's a UK corporation. Okay, sorry to interrupt. Please continue.
Okay, so once you've then kind of taken over the company, you can actually backdate a registration. So say I'm taking over, I'm buying an Amazon account under my US company from a UK company, we'll stick with that example, from the 1st of May, you know, going through the whole process, it's taken a couple of weeks to actually get everything set up. When if it got to the 1st of June and you still hadn't registered, you can then backdate that to the 1st of May. So as soon as you know that you're going to be buying that Amazon Seller Central, I would make sure that you're charging VAT to your customers, because although you may not be registered, you can backdate the registration, and it means that you'll have to pay VAT on all the sales made previous, even though at that actual moment in time you weren't registered, but you're backdating the registration.
Okay, just to summarize, don't change a thing in terms of prices. Assuming it's a, let's go with back to the, it's a non-UK entity, so that they're a US entity buying a US entity, but they have mm-hmm. a UK account to it. If they're charging $120 now and they're collecting VAT, you don't have to change prices at all.
Correct.
You're going to register with a firm like yours, and then when it's time to pay for the first time, you're already collecting those, and you'll go backdating and calculate what's due.
Right? Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And how often do you pay? I think you said, was it quarterly?
Yes, quarterly. So every 3 months. Yeah.
And is it the same every 3 months? Is it the beginning of the 15th of the next quarter is when you have to pay the taxes, or is it depend upon when you register?
So you get 1 month and 7 days to actually do the filing and make the payment. You can fall into different stagger groups of VAT quarters. So it's not necessarily you are January to March. You could be February to April or March to May. So there's three kind of different groups of VAT filings you can fall into. Your VAT advisor should obviously let you know, and we'll be contacting you when everything's due. But in terms of the frequency, it is, it's quarterly.
Listen, Alex, as you can see, I'm an old guy. I got some gray hair here. I fell asleep in accounting class in college. Honest to God, I did. Fell asleep. The next class came in, and I think I've told this story again, so I won't go into much detail. I don't like this stuff. I don't like this level of detail because of what I do for a living. It's absolutely critical as an entrepreneur. I know how important it is. Do I have to really, if I'm the guy that's buying a FBA business and it's got European components to it, how much do I have to really know, or can I just rely on you guys to do the work for me?
You can definitely rely on us to kind of advise you and let you know. But it is, I do think it's good to know kind of the basics of what you're doing. In terms of Amazon, you've got two different programs. So European Fulfillment Network or Pan-European Program. Pan-European Program is great. You get to move your stock around seven different countries' fulfillment houses. Your stock is closer to your customers, Prime. All positive reasons to do that program. But if you just kind of turn that on your Amazon Seller Central and you haven't done any prior research, you won't know that you then actually have to get VAT registered in seven countries. You have to do filings maybe monthly in more than half of those countries. So everything that you do in terms of where your stock is located, where your sales are going, will have an impact on your VAT registrations, your VAT obligations within Europe. So yes, it's good. You should have an advisor and they will let you know, but don't be completely ignorant to what you're doing and where your stock is going.
Well, it sounds like you just touched on being able to ship from seven different countries in the Pan-EU. There's a lot of potential savings in terms of shipping costs and fulfillment costs because you're closer to the customer. But you talked earlier, I think, that if you've got your inventory in the UK or Germany in the two biggest centers, that you register for VAT in those countries. What if your inventory is spread around seven different countries so you're closer to the customers? Do you then have to register in all of those countries?
You do, yeah. As soon as your stock is in that country and you're fulfilling from there, you have to be VAT registered in that country. So VAT is basically payable to the country. It's deemed on place of supply. So if your stock is in a Czech Republic warehouse, the place of supply of that sale when it's going from the Czech Republic to a customer in Italy is going to be a Czech Republic. So being VAT registered in the UK is completely useless. Okay. So yeah, seven.
Very much like Nexus here in the States, if there's 15 Amazon centers, theory is that if you have 15 different locations of inventory, you have Nexus in those states, and that's where you collect sales taxes. Not as formal as where you are. Tell us about the biggest hurdles and biggest mistakes that you've seen people make or that you have in bringing, you know, people to, you know, the European countries and selling an FBA. What things are really obvious? What mistakes are really common that people can avoid?
So first one is to not get registered at all. So with that threshold, quite a few people get confused that the 85,000 threshold is applicable to them. Sounds really appealing and really lovely. So they just don't register, full stop. And then when you do get registered, you just do it from today's date because, oh, I didn't realize, but now I know that I'm going to do it from today. There is a huge amount of compliance checks going on with the revenue in the UK. They are hurdling through every single Amazon account and doing tax investigations. You know, we've had to help clients where we're going all the way back to 2012 when the legislation came in that they have to register. So, you know, that's kind of 6 years of taxes you're going to have to go back and pay. And if you don't, your Amazon account gets shut down. So first kind of hurdle is actually getting registered, kind of what you'd think is the most simplest part, just to do that application.
6 years of back taxes. You've had people in that situation?
Yeah.
I would think that in some situations, people just throw their hands up in the air, close the account and walk away and not pay the taxes. Is that something where if they're a US resident where, you know, they're going to be found and have to pay those taxes in some way, shape or form?
Well, you've spent, you know, 6 years building up your Amazon account. You've got all of your reviews, you know, you've built up that kind of brand in the UK. So to kind of just throw your hands up and walk away is a big thing to do in the first place. Because even if you opened up a new Amazon account, you're not going to have all of those reviews. And obviously the name of you as a director of that company, when you do a VAT application to the UK, you have to state that information. You have to kind of give all of those details of yourself anyway. And yeah, so
you'll have... walk away, they're walking away forever. Unless they cheat and get around the system some way.
Exactly. And unfortunately, not like in the US, there's no amnesty in the UK. So, you know, if you think that you're going to be able to negotiate and kind of say that, oh, I'll make sure I pay everything going forwards or I'll pay a percentage, you won't get that. And you also have to pay a massive penalty as well. So it's all kind of doesn't sound that great if you haven't done the right thing to start with.
Okay. So I've talked to a lot of Amazon sellers. I've seen their financials. Some people tell me, you know, I've done the analysis, Joe, and it's just not worth the effort for me to sell in Germany and Italy and France and in the UK. It's just not worth it. Mm-hmm. And I think they're completely and utterly wrong because I've seen the explosive growth. You've got 2,000 FBA clients. What country are you seeing people get the most bang for their buck? What's growing rapidly over there, and what country should they pay attention to the most?
UK and Germany, definitely. They're just the two biggest markets. France is does follow very closely, but yeah, 100% they're the biggest.
Okay. And the easiest of those two might be the UK, because you don't have to do translation?
Yeah, exactly. And shipping directly to the UK is a lot easier than it is shipping to Germany.
Okay. Okay. There are a lot of concerns about money laundering. I've heard people talk about this and how complicated it is. And on the German side and German FBA accounts, am I just hearing people with sort of the chicken little mentality that the sky is falling and being really paranoid, or is there something to that?
I think sales in Germany, in terms of money laundering and everything, it was all going through Amazon. So Amazon are collecting the funds, they're sending it to you. You don't need fiscal representation in Germany, so payments go directly to the German tax authorities, whereas in France, you've got to pay to your French advisor, and then it goes to the tax authorities. So yeah, I'm not sure kind of what grounds that has.
Do you even know who Chicken Little is? Or what that theory? Okay, see,
sorry.
All right, it's a cartoon character here in the States. The sky is
okay. Chicken Little. Okay, I'll have to check it out.
I use that terminology when there's so many people online talking about all the horrible things that can happen when you own an Amazon seller account, as opposed to the reality of how many great things are happening. It's changing people's lives.
I think that's like when you go to a restaurant or you go anywhere, you are more likely to leave a bad review if you've had a bad experience. Whereas if you've had a good review, you probably won't leave any review at all. 100%. I don't know. Does that happen?
100%. You're absolutely right. One of the things that I see often, and I know you guys are Avask tax advisors, so I want to talk about that advisory part and that tax part. But one of the things that I see happen is that sometimes when sellers expand overseas, they just take the easy route and they let Amazon handle making deposits directly to their U.S. bank account. Whereas other people that take a little bit of time, do some research, they'll use World First Bank or somebody else to be that intermediary, and the monies will go there at a lower exchange rate, saving them tens of thousands of dollars annually. Do you find that to be the case? Do you advise folks to do that? And if so, what world banks do you suggest they use or look at, or is that a service that you provide as well?
Yeah, definitely. So if you kind of, first of all, from a VAT paying perspective, most people have to pay via wire transfer. And if you're kind of getting close to the payment deadline, it can take, 4 to 5 working days for that payment to clear with HMRC. They then, if any payment is received late, they will give you a surcharge as a percentage of the liability, and that can go up to 15%. So if you've got a currency account located here in Europe, the time that it takes for the funds to actually clear and the payment to be made is a lot quicker. So that's a big benefit of getting a bank account over here, even just a currency account.
Can you define what a currency account is and how it differentiates from a bank account, please?
So it has kind of all the benefits of a bank account and is very similar, but don't 100% take my word for this. Obviously, it's better to speak to a currency account provider, but you can't hold large amounts of funds in that account. It's kind of like an intermediary where you're basically doing a transfer and a transfer to your local account. You can't also do things like direct debits and write out checks and things like that.
Gotcha. And as I understand it, just for people listening, that currency account, I think Amazon, for instance, may charge you 4% currency exchange, whereas the currency account, you may only be charged 2%. And so you might be, and these are ballpark numbers, so you're saving 2% on whatever amount of money is flowing through that. And if it's $1 million a year, do the math on that. If it's $10,000 a year, do the math on that. So I see a lot of people do that as well. So that's what a currency account is, right?
Yeah. And especially with kind of making payments in Europe in terms of VAT, you're going to be transferring your money from Amazon to the US and then back to the UK again. So, you're kind of transferring it a couple times to make that payment. So if you were to incorporate a UK company, however, you could get an actual high street UK bank account, which is obviously a benefit of that UK company. You could just kind of grow the funds and leave it in a high street bank account in the UK.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. Maybe I should have asked this at the very beginning, and listeners, I apologize, because this is a question I get often. I'm expanding to the UK, I'm expanding to Germany. Do I have to set up a UK business with a UK address or a German company? Do I have to set those up, or can I simply be a US-based company selling products overseas? Can you explain? You've got 2,000 clients. Mm-hmm. What do they do and what do you recommend?
You do not have to incorporate a UK company. It's the majority of people use their overseas company just because it is a lot easier. There's less administration in terms of the accounts that you are drawing up each year. It's all just falling under one company. You've got your CPA in the US who's doing everything for you. You don't have to hire a CPA equivalent in the UK, so us accountants, to do your annual accounts, your bookkeeping, your kind of all of those statutory filings. In terms of what's actually best, it's really hard for me to say because it is on a case-by-case basis. It's, you know, do you want to build a brand? Do you want a UK bank account? Do you want to take advantage of the VAT threshold? Just so many factors. It's not one is one size fits all, unfortunately.
Okay. But the simple answer is, for anybody listening, if you're US-based with a US bank account, a US corporation, you do not have to set up a European company, a UK company, or in Germany. That's misinformation. You don't have to do that. You can register for VAT and start collecting and paying and still have your one CPA here in the US. Is that correct? Okay.
Yes.
Good. Of your 2,000 plus or minus clients, what are their sizes? I mean, you got people that are doing, you know, $1 million, $2 million a month in revenue, and those that are just doing $5,000 or $10,000 a month. How does it range and how does it flush out size-wise? So we just know more about you guys.
Yeah, exactly that range. I don't, obviously, know, can't give out client information, but...
Maybe I should have said a $500,000 a month, try, but... $5 million a month.
But... Yeah, there's a huge range. There is, and that's for the UK companies and also overseas companies. You know, we've got a lot of Chinese clients as well. We've got kind of a whole Chinese department, I'm saying, about our Shenzhen office. So yeah, the range is massive. We can help you whatever size.
Okay. Let's say that I'm doing $250,000 a month here in the States, and I decide I want to expand overseas, and I'm going to start with UK and Germany. Aside from my inventory costs and getting the product there, what are my costs with someone like you and setting up VAT and getting, you know, registered and compliant and all that stuff?
Well, it depends which countries you're going for. If it's just one, if it's seven.
Say I'm going to start with two. I'm going to start with the UK. Actually, I'm just going to start with one. Let's go with the UK.
Okay. £150 registration, one-off fee, and then £870 a year annual compliance. And that doesn't depend on turnover. So whatever your turnover is, it's the same.
That's pretty cheap. If I'm doing $250,000 a month, €150, couple hundred bucks tops, and then maybe $1,000 a year. Simple as that. Who calculates what my VAT is owed each month? Is it me and my CPA, or is that part of your $875,000?
Yeah, we do that. We calculate everything. You can give us limited access to your Seller Central. We'll go in and download all the reports directly. You don't have to be part of that process. Your sole responsibility is to make the payment.
Can I just have you make the payment for me if you have access to funds, or you just tell me what to pay and I pay it?
No, we don't do that. We will tell you what to pay and then you have to make the payment. Yeah.
This is, okay, I'm a little surprised. See, I haven't talked to anybody about pricing, but to me, this is so incredibly fair and reasonable. Are you guys, is this the standard fees? I mean, is this normal cost? Are you really expensive? Are you really cheap? What's the situation?
I think that's about average. We pride ourselves over the service that we give, kind of in comparison to the actual fees to other providers and things. So we don't get too hung up on what the actual kind of charges are in terms of that. What I would say, though, I don't kind of want to be misleading in terms of that 870, because if your turnover was, you know, in the millions, you will be breaching distance selling thresholds to other European countries.
You'll be what? Say that again.
So, breaching distance selling thresholds. We haven't spoken about that. So
distance
let's just
selling thresholds.
We'll go into that really quickly. So if you've got all of your stock in a UK UK warehouse, and it's going to customers in Germany. So UK fulfillment warehouse going to a customer in Germany. If those sales go over a certain threshold to Germany, you then have to register for VAT in Germany, even though you're not fulfilling from that country.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah. All right. This is the part where Joe doesn't love this level of detail, but thank you for that.
It's just because I don't want to be misleading in terms of it's £870, you know, whatever your turnover is, because that's our UK fee. But if your turnover is massive, you will have an obligation to register in other countries as well.
And if the turnover is massive, they're probably going to be shipping from those countries to save that fulfillment cost anyway.
Yeah,
and that's something that they would do the math on and you guys may help them with.
Yeah.
Okay. We're running out of time. We're about 30 minutes in, which is actually a bit long, but this is a fascinating subject, a critical one. And I'm sure some people just, they fell asleep because it's also not their favorite, which is a shame, because the number one thing people can do to make their business more valuable is get the books right, get the details like this. Absolutely correct. It's going to help with the transition of the business as well as the value. Alex, thank you so much. Any last thoughts that you can share with people listening, whether they're buying and selling, in terms of what they should do and how they should do it, other than just do it and do it right?
I would just say, just speak to someone. You know, we do free consultation services, so if you just give us a call, then we can just run through everything with you. There's, you know, although we've covered a lot in half an hour, it's a lot of information. There are still some things that haven't been mentioned. So yeah, I would just speak to someone and make sure you've got all the information before you completely just jump straight in.
Okay. Well, we'll make sure that all of your contact information is in the show notes. But for those listening that can't see them there, it's Avask Tax Advisors. That's AVASK Tax Advisors. And they do free consultations. I think it's really important as a buyer or seller if you're planning on selling over in the UK. Alex, thanks so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Quiet Light Podcast. For more resources from this episode, head over to quietlightbrokerage.com. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a rating and review in iTunes. This helps share the messages from the show with more business owners like you.